Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Red Wings Rant, where tirades and impassioned pleas for your Detroit Red Wings. Finally, I have a home. I'm Matt. That is Brother Mike. Man, you guys pumped to talk about Red Wings hockey?
Give me that Jakub Vrána, baby.
Woo!
My boy, Ken, over there.
Ken Young, go Blues, go Vrána.
Woo! 6 points in 7 games, baby. This guy is rocking and rolling.
Rocking and rolling and whatnot.
Man, I can't wait for the offseason and we can make trades for guys like that, you know? Like those kind of under the radar, you know, point per minute, you know, kind of guys. I'm really excited about that.
Righteous, what's going on? Let's go! Chewy's aboard. Oh, I can't get my mouse to work, though. What's going on, Chewy? So here's the game plan tonight. We have a Red Wings game that starts in 20 minutes for all the podcast listeners. Arms are up in the air. They're like, what the?
I had a question before we even got. I forgot that today was St. Louis Blues Day. And I was going to pose a question to the people and be like, what? After watching those last couple games, Matt, you and I texted each other. This is like the most unwatchable product right now. There's no pressure offensively. None. And I was going to ask, what are you watching? What are you getting out of these games? Are you still tuning in? Are you still watching now that the season's basically over?
Good question.
But then the St. Louis game rolled right up on us. And I can't wait to see what Vrána looks like in that St. Louis blue, baby. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! I'm recording this game. I can't wait.
I thought maybe you forgot the title of the episode was Simon Edvinson debuts, very successful debut for the Detroit Red Wings.
There's that, you know, don't forget Matt Luff. Gotta love it.
Oh, come on. We can be real. Nobody gives a shit. We don't have to pretend like people are actually excited about that.
No, I was excited for Edvinson. I actually gathered around with my lady's dad, and he doesn't pay for cable. He's a lot smarter than I am. And I was like, hey, the Red Wings are on. Let's check out this this new 6'6" kid they got going. And it was the Colorado game.
Yeah.
And he had a few highlights, but we jumped in, I think, the middle of the second period. And for the last 10 minutes of that period, it was all Colorado, and boy, was it rough, Matt. We were excited, and then we were kind of tepid, and then we were quiet, and then it was the intermission, and then we found something else to do. It's a rough product, but
hey,
we do have the comments back coming in, by the way. Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah, I think other people are kind of excited. Chewy, excited for a Vrána hat trick. Oh, and Righteous 247. Three, looking good on Edmondson. Should have been my buddy. I've been calling him Yo Birdson. I forgot what awful amalgamation I put together for Albert Johansson, but Johansson should have got that call up per Righteous 247.
Yeah, that is fun. I remember we've been talking about that all season. Like who is gonna get the call up first. So that actually that's kind of fun. Like we got our answer. Yeah, let's pull this up, right? Because this is what I was doing, and then I lost connection to what was going on.
Before we lose the thread, Jared had it for me. Albertson, my man. Thanks, Jared.
Oh.
When I invented a prospect. Thank you, Jared.
Yeah, no, it's okay. That happened. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it was a successful start to Edmondson's run, and I think, is there any better start than to take, I mean, I guess it could have been Connor McDavid, right? And we've seen the highlights from the last couple of seasons of Seider handling McDavid. But of course, what we have pulled up now, and I apologize to all the podcast listeners, but please come join us on YouTube, which now lists Red Wings Rant as a podcast, by the way. We are one of the very first podcasts on YouTube. Pretty cool, huh? Anyway, yeah, we can watch this in real time. Let's watch Edmondson. I listed it as a big hit. And people, obviously Colorado Avalanche fans, were not happy with that. Please tell me how this is just a routine knocking a guy completely off the puck and turning it over. Just wham. Can we have that be a big hit? Good God. Does it have to be a Trouba, like... There's varying degrees of big, right? Am I wrong? Can we play that game?
Have to be considered manslaughter for it to be a hit? No, I think that counts as a power hit, man.
Thank you. There's been a lot of challenges, and there was the Kachuk stuff from last night too. That I'll pull up here in a second. But yeah, like, why can't? Like the Red Wings, you know, we're going to lose all of these games by multiple goals. And we have Avalanche fans a couple of nights ago telling me that hit on McKinnon. Oh, man, the NHL is in trouble if we call that a big hit nowadays. And then it was this Kachuk stuff last night that, oh, my God, it was.
Oh, and he turtled on Edmondson's stick.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, Matt, since you're the aficionado for Chell. The NHL video game for the uninitiated.
Yeah.
That counts as a big hit in that video game because it's really hard to line up monster hits.
Ooh. Well, that has changed recently. I don't know
if there's a new patch, but I missed a lot of hits. Maybe I just need to practice a little bit more.
So according to Florida Panthers fans.
Also evening, Mr. Murdoch. Good to see you.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. We'll hit up the comments in a second. I was so proud of myself for lining up all these highlights today.
No, go ahead. You're good.
But according to the Florida Panthers fans, this is Matthew Kachuk owning Edmonton. And he's got a stick, right? I get it. But really, is that not Edmonton rubbing out Kachuk like right out of the play, mowing him down, smearing him across the glass of the ice? And his only defense was to grab Edmondson's stick. Like if the game we're playing is, oh man, what a move by Kachuk. Now the NHL is in trouble. Cause that is Edmondson just going like getting that little nuisance, that bug of the Kachuk family off of his stick. That's how I feel.
No, your audio just, it dropped in and out just for a second while you were explaining that. So that's why Jared was saying it was a little bit of a remix. But the other thing that I really liked about that play was Edmondson is definitely doing something right as far as, you know, who he's unafraid to get in the grill of. Because right after that play, there was a stop. And Kachuk got in Edmondson's face to be like, fuck you, bro. You know, which is right. What we want to see. But it was at that moment when the breeze was going by Edmondson, and I realized that he's a 6'6" skeleton. And my God, if this is what he looks like when he's a boy, he's just a boy. He's going to be something when he beefs out, you know, in a couple years and actually gets some meat on those bones. Cause I didn't realize he's such a skinny kid.
Yeah, he's got that look in the face, right? Like,
I just mean it's encouraging that he's already got pretty good hits and he's got a you know, that real posture on the ice now, and knowing that he's not a finished product, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that's huge too to remember. Like, this is all happening, like, this is game number two for Edvinson. It's so the highlight we're going to show now is where Edvinson makes this nice pass out in front of the net, right in front of Bobrovsky. I mean, for all intents and purposes, right, we're talking about 5 minutes to go in the third period. Edvinson's on the ice. He takes it upon himself. Like, this isn't a guy, like, look at where he's at. This is where Matt's going to, like, overthink things. I think this is my favorite way to do replays. But Edvinson's in his second game. He's got the puck down low. Now there's two elements to that, right? The first element is like, well, he's not just going to let the Panthers take the puck, right? So somebody's got to go get the puck. But he's got all the confidence in the world to do this. And then it's what he does next. Is he's got one, he's got at least, if we want to say, three Panthers coming down on the rookie Edvinson. And all he's doing right now is getting these guys thinking about where's Edvinson going to move the puck. Now, we do have a pretty good move out front, and I can't remember for the life of me who is about to take this pass. Of course, we all know it's not going to end well. But God damn it all to hell. Right to the stick. And there is a pretty good play by the Panthers to break it up there. So it doesn't get finished. But that's one hell of a pass right out in front of Bob, and to make that connection there. And again, like, we can't say enough that this is just game number two for Edvinson. And my comment on here, oh, that was Kubi. That's right. My comment on here, this, and I wasn't thinking of saying this, but I really like the reply I got. So shout out, if you're in the comments right now, please take credit. But I said, shout out to Edvinson for making our 23-24 roster projections so much easier. And then one of the comments I got was, same to Kubi. I was like, Nailed him. Those are all the highlights. So if you guys missed it and you're on the podcast, I highly encourage, if you've missed any of Edvinson's first two games, go check those out, because I think we nailed all of the my favorite highlights. So yeah, go check those out. That was fun. But now we're gonna, I mean, it doesn't hurt to bring this up, right? How do we want to put this? Having somebody who's not just a couple of goofball fans getting excited about Edvinson, giving, you know, another opinion to kind of step in line with us. But yeah, Mike, you were gonna talk, and I wanted to bring up this slide, so we'll talk about it in a second. But go ahead.
No, I always like hearing from friend of the show, Max Boltman, man. And then maybe we'll trigger you and we can talk about that one debate where he didn't quite pick up on what you're trying to put down that one time.
Fucker.
There we go. Like, we got the quota. We'll just bring it up once. It's like bringing up the McCarty episode.
No team is ever going to put Tyler Bertuzzi in their middle six. Thanks, man.
No, I liked Joe Diamond. Welcome back. And let us know if we're wildly mispronouncing your last name. Just saying that Elite Prospects has Simon Edvinson at 216 pounds. And he might have to get to 240 to not look like a stick. Yeah.
I mean, he's a tall guy, so there's going to be a lot of meat you got to put on those. There's more bone to put meat on. So
yeah,
Job's right. That's going to be some work. That's off-season work you don't hear about too often. You hear about guys putting on muscle, but not going to McDonald's and just putting on 40 pounds of Big Macs, which would be, man, that'd be a scary 6'6" individual. If him and Soderblom could get on the same McDonald's Big Mac diet for the summer, boy, Jared throwing out there, kid's a tall drink of water. So yeah, with Max, Max's comments on here, these were like in line with some of the notes that I took. But yeah, it's a third penalty Edvinson has drawn in two games. I think showing that replay of him having the confidence, also the wherewithal to take advantage of what Florida was giving Edvinson to throw that puck out in front of the net, but also drawing all these penalties here. Like, this is speaking to a guy who is, do I want to say highly or acutely aware of what's going on around him? and acutely because it's what's actually happening to Simon Edmondson. Well, that defensive strategy for Florida completely fucked it up because Edmondson rolled right through it and passed right in front of the net. Somebody wants to try and drag Edmondson down, or if he could get tripped, he, you know, part of the game, and he knows how to play that.
I did want two comments I wanted to hone in on real quick. Was Murdoch asking, I missed the Edmondson games. How did his skating look? He's always seemed smooth in the clips I've seen. Just gossamer silk, my friend. It doesn't look like he's, you know, lightning out there. And I don't think that's what he's going for. It looks very stylish. It's just a very, it just seems like he's because, you know, he doesn't have to use a lot of strides to get where he needs to go. And
it's making me want to watch Phantom Thread for some reason. Gossamer Silk.
Gossamer Silk. You like that one?
Yeah. You're not going to get that on any other Red Wings podcast or NHL podcast or hockey
podcast.
That's
what we should have named this episode. Mr.
Gossamer. I don't know how to spell it. So.
No, I think it's, you know, obviously when I say this, it, you know, he has so many years and skills and points and accomplishments to go, but it's to me the most Lidstrom thing about him, because Lidstrom was never like a gunner, you know, speed wise, but he just seemed to get exactly where he needed to go all the time. And even in that highlight that you brought up for Kubalik, he had a lot of space, and a lot of that was, you know, kind of him being able to, you know, use his skills to get that. If you just like, if you back it up right from the start of that replay, yeah. That's a wild amount of space, man. Yeah, I think that's what you're going to like a lot. And I'm excited to, you know, have you tune in and see what he looks like again with more live bullets. This time against a team that's a little bit more like our peers as far as St. Louis goes. And then the other person I just wanted to touch on is my boy, Performance Art. Go ahead and vent, brother, because, I know that, you know, we're all in this for the long haul. Everything, every single thing Yzerman has ever done is perfect. But, that Verona move. It's getting tougher and tougher to defend here with every goal going in. I'm just saying it seemed a little quick. You know, maybe there's obviously things we don't know about, right? His absence, what it was like to be around him, like in practices and stuff like that. But, man. That St. Louis Blues performance, and especially if he gets some points tonight, it's just gonna make you kind of second guess, like, what? When are we actually gonna get the story? Because we could desperately use a guy with that kind of acumen on the ice who can score. I think Performance. I had a few comments back. It was just can't believe we traded him. Just kind of disappointing. I don't know if Ron is going to drop a six bomb on us, but I'm very intrigued. I'm very intrigued to see what happens tonight.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, I hope Ferrata scores six on us. Look, it's one of those things, I think, from a fan of Verona. And how do you become a fan of Verona? Well, you have him on your hockey team for, I don't know, 39 games or something, and you watch him put pucks in the back of the net. So, like, I come from this perspective of, like, it hurts, and it's gonna be chalked up as, like, a piece of evidence, but I don't know if it's, like, it's not damning, it's not, like, the end of Yzerman, but it is one of those things, like, if it doesn't go our way, like, that's where you start to put stuff together, and that would also have to go in lockstep with Verona continuing to perform. So I'm just gonna say that super disappointing. And I don't know. Like I want to pull up Dan B's comment. 31 teams could have had Verona for nothing. Passed on him. He did throw in there too, Dan. He violated Yzerman's trust, and that's the end. I can't speak to if there was trust violations, but I can speak to 31 other teams could have had him through waivers and didn't take him. So seventh rounder was all you were going to get. And whether or not this is like, So again, we can't speak to exactly what was going on. Yzerman seemed really frustrated, but now Verano's sort of thriving in St. Louis. So I think I'm super bummed. I'm not happy. I'm not someone who's going to argue that this was the right move, but I'm definitely not ready to say like. And you're not saying this either, Mike. But you know, it's not like, oh well, forget Yzerman. But we are going to, as we all do, either consciously or, you know, I guess just subconsciously, like in the back of our minds, we're all going to put together this group of evidence, positive and negative. Steve Yzerman drafted Mo Sider way before anybody else was even considering him. Evidence for Yzerman being a genius. A bummer piece of evidence is that Verano's off our team.
Here's all I want is a little accountability because he has misses, right? Yeah. We're so excited about Edmondson, but we're only seeing Edmondson because Sherratt went down. And, you know, we depleted a lot of our depth and we've had a lot of injuries. So it took a lot for us to see a prospect we're excited about. And I mean, like, Sherratt is a big miss.
So for all the podcast listeners, it's 8 o'clock right now.
We got 3 minutes and then they're going to diddle around for a few. So we got time here to kill. We're doing good.
No. I'm setting something up. So this guy, Mike.
Yeah.
Who's about to make this pass to Adam Ernie.
Woo!
Is out of the lineup for Mr. Lindstrom. Simon Edmondson, according to at 7:58 p.m., according to at Detroit Red Wings on Twitter, Edmondson out of the lineup. Lindstrom, he's in. Woo-hoo-hoo. Now, somebody said earlier, Silver said that Lalonde was maybe some of the issue with Verana. I can tell you guys right now that Lalonde is the one who put in Lindstrom and not Edmondson. this is a bummer. Mike, you asked why are we watching these games? Well,
now I would prefer that Verano gets 8 goals tonight. How about that?
All on Lindstrom.
I hope Lindstrom is a -8. That's my dream for today.
Now, can we also talk about out there.
Diamond? Yeah. Unfortunately, his name's not Dave because we could call him Diamond Dave. But Diamond Joe, long lost cousin of Diamond Dave, explaining that Simon is dealing with a back injury.
Oh, that's right. And he was still a game time decision. He came back after leaving, says Joe, but it's bothering him since the game ended. Yeah, it was one of those, but I mean, it's a game time decision. I guess he took the skate and didn't feel good. So here we are.
Yeah. I mean, this season's meaningless, right? So if you do have any kind of bump, I guess you can, you know,
yeah,
bench. It makes more sense. But in the moment, I just want to be mad. So I'm going to ignore logic and reason.
That's still, I mean, like what we're teasing is like, what are you watching these games for? Well, at this point, I mean, I was bringing this up earlier. So I think, We're all pretty good with tank mode, right?
My God, if you should be. We definitely.
I know there's some people out there that are they're still like, oh, if we could get a win, that'll feel good. So
no, it'll feel bad.
Is there any reason? Well, I kept wanting to bring this up. Is there any reason to keep Edmondson out of the game, regardless? Sweetly. Mike, we're 2 points away from St. Louis. So we got back-to-backs with St. Louis. Let's take that 24th spot, huh? Maybe even cross our fingers that Vancouver's going to get a couple of W's. And possibly, Mike, we could catch up to the Arizona Coyotes.
Pretty good deal. You know what sucks? Because I remember playing this game last year.
Yeah.
And we had almost an identical draft spot.
How many straight years now have we been playing this game?
Well, I mean, we were rooting to just drop like into the top 10. We were at like the number 10 slot.
That's exactly where we're at right now, right? Yeah, number 10 at 20, 23rd worst team in the league.
I don't think that dropping is going to be that much of an issue for this team because outside of Larkin, there's not really a single offensive threat that I would be concerned about if I was game planning against the Red Wings. None.
Yeah. I mean, everybody could call out their favorites, right? Like, if your favorite's Pugh Suter, certainly.
Jared. Where's the Michael Shane Pugh Suter gift? Or meme?
I think I saw Prashant's post last night on Twitter that going back to like the beginning of February, Pugh leads the Red Wings in goals. Which is, I mean, that makes me laugh because I know like our boy Ketzel's been on Twitter asking for a 1-year extension for Pugh, but I don't know. I guess that works because we've struggled so much to find like a legit center or like just build our prospect centers. So you have a guy like Pugh that'll come cheap. He works out pretty well on the fourth line. And like we could see, he's able to put some pucks in the back of the net. So I actually do really like that, but I am not going to be shocked when the Pugh era ends at the end of the season. Mike, how important is it for us to not get another point for the rest of the season? Because right now we're sitting at 69 points.
I don't get to use the word utmost very often. This is one of those times. It is of the utmost importance that we win 0 games the rest of the year. Dane B's got it right. Go Blues, go Canucks, go Coyotes, and then hopefully get a little Bedard action in there.
Dan B's next comment. Thanks for the show, boys. I have no other reason to continue watching the Wings this year.
Right, Dan? You're just saving these receipts, and you're just pulling for Verana tonight. You know
this. The 69 points here, Jared throwing in a nice. Joe throwing in a nice. Chewy, I like Chase on. Of course, coming back to Jared's comment, I think this is in regards to Pugh getting a 1-year extension, but Jared throws out there all money on Chase on. Yeah, why not?
Murdoch with it. A depressing point that I agree with. Oh, I God. Never want to be hopeful for the draft lottery again. I mean, I think this is the perfect draft to be super hopeful and get lucky for, and then, you know, not worry about it again for another 20 years. So this is a big one coming up. Who are we cutting off our Willy for, Matt? The Michigan guy? What's his name?
Fantilli? Yeah, we're going to cut off our Willy for Adam Fantilli. Guys, remember this.
Yeah.
Lop it off for Michkov. Of course, I heard a better version of this today, so I'm a little sad, but I said fall hard for Bedard. Mm-hmm. And the reason I picked fall hard was because you would fall down the standings and you would fall in love with him. But I really liked, on the Athletic, Monday show, God, his name's escaping me right now, but he said just, it was tank hard for Bedard is the popular hashtag. But I, at first I was like, why didn't I think of that? And then I came back to my, I like falling in love with Bedard. I kind of like that. But well, I think deep down I'm really upset. I didn't think of tank card.
I know we're almost at the puck drop here for the Verana receipts coming back. but I think you had a few slides that we were going to jump into today.
Yeah, we touched on the Boltman one. And then, of course, call up to Edmondson was another one here, but I did want to like get the conversation rolling, right? Like what this issue is turning into with all these left side defensemen. And also shout out to Amisto gets his entry level contract. And Mike, I feel like I learn new things every year. I think there was the 1 year I was all worried about, maybe this was last season, but using up one of Bergeron's ELC years. And then we found out how that actually works and it was going to get burned up anyway. Also learned to Amisto, 2-year entry level contract. I just saw somebody the other day posting that every ELC was 3 years. So myself and that gentleman, learned a new thing with the two Amisto deal. But right side defenseman. I think anybody that some people were posting actually when that signing happened, like, who cares? Or would have been more fun a couple years ago. And basically signaling that the excitement has dissipated. But I think there's an obvious reason that that contract got signed. And there's also, like, worth bringing up that Wallander playing in the SHL. Of course, Rogel with Marco was put on the right side of the defense. Of course, another left-side defenseman that the Wings have in their prospect pool. And just kind of start to, you know, you start to wonder, these guys are being loaned over there. Is Stevie calling over there and like, hey, can we see Wallander on the right side, please, while you borrow our player? Yes, thank you. Which I think we have heard in the past that those conversations do happen. But yeah, I mean, I think that actually is what happened. And even if it's not, it's fine. Maybe it's just good to know the conversation or the thought should pop in everyone's head like, oh, good, we're going to see Wallander on the right side because we have so many goddamn left side defensemen. Benchrot, Olimata, Jake Wallman. I mean, Osterley is UFA, so we don't really need to worry about that. I think Edmondson is in the lineup. I don't think we saw anything these last two games that would cause anyone to think any differently. And, well, I guess, again, Robert Hägg, same in the Osterley situation. That one's gone. But that's still four left-side defensemen. Then you've got Sabrango, Vero, Johansson, and Jared McIsaac. All left-side defensemen. It's a toughie. And again, the two Amisto things working out. Again, we see Wallander getting some shots. Man, this is something where there's no space already for these guys to be on the, I'm going to say right side, but correct side, their stick handling side. I mean, there's going to be movements at some point, or they're going to be moved to their other side, which is that the best move? I think we've also been a podcast that has touted, like, just move these guys because it's been complete ass and they can't be any worse. but we have seen Sherratt get worse. So, you know, there's that side of the conversation too. It's rough right now. And it's crazy, like, that Edmondson played so well that we immediately have to figure this. Like, we're going into next season now. I'm penning in Edmondson, no problem, unless he takes, you know, like, it'd have to be a step back that nobody could see coming, right, after what we saw these last couple of games. Yeah. So barring that, you got Edmondson in there, Wallman, Sherratt, Olimata. Yeah. it's rough.
It is rough. And it makes me it makes me a little jealous of how, like, baseball, you know, how you could just call up relievers or, like, part, you know, a situational starter, you know, at the drop of a hat. I mean, I think you have to be on the 40 man, but I just wish it was a little bit easier to, you know, Hägg, I'm sorry, bro. We're going to put you on waivers. Cause I mean, you know why, you know, and call up, Johansson, you know, just get a cup of coffee up here to end the season. Give us, I don't even know if I want to just limit it to watchability for us as fans, but I mean, to just give this guy a little more value to put him out there in front of live bullets, you know, at the NHL level. And it's, you know, maybe not against, like, the Colorados. I don't know how much value he's getting out of, you know, a potential ass kicking for 60 minutes, but, you know, to be playing against, you know, the 69 point, the, you know, 75-ish, 80 point teams, almost kind of a, you know, kind of a reward, you know, for being like a pretty good prospect. Yeah. I guess that's what I kind of long for. And, I'm not going to probably get that treat. So, this is all just so hypothetical, you know, until next season. So that's the real reason these last, 13 games that we have left, 13 games just feel really hollow.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's really going to disagree. And I think even the Red Wings right now are kind of like, all right, let's just get this shit over with. I think we've seen that in the last couple of games too. So, I mean, you learn it, right? Like, growing up, somebody's late to a meeting. And then that conversation starts of like, well, you just showed everyone how much you care. Well, when we watch the Red Wings get their asses handed to them for quite a, we've scattered some wins. We've scattered some good games, but I mean, shit, just go across the whole season. We have, you know, in the section of teams that we're next to on the standings, how come we have that, where is it? Our goal differential. Like we're at the negative 26 and then Ottawa's at negative 10. Buffalo's at minus 8. Washington plus 2. Nashville minus 11. We're the team that start like we kick it off into the shitholes. St. Louis negative 34. Vancouver negative 25.
Oh no, it's already 1-0. Thankfully it wasn't Verano for you know, the Red Wing brass up there.
Jared, Matt was late for a meeting today. You know what I got that from? And oh my God, I wish I could be late for one of my meetings. Mike, I fell asleep during the meeting today.
It was a greatest hits, by the way. Luff was out there. I don't know what he was doing. Hag just kind of dropped his arms and shoulders and shrugged. Is it Bortuzzo?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Lalonde is kind of—he has a weird little smirk on the bench over there, just kind of like, man, mission I miss accomplished. Tampa Bay. Yeah.
Oh.
He looks like he misses Tampa Bay right now.
Performance Art asked a question in the chat here. And then, yeah. Like I said, I know a lot of folks. What's the reason to watch this Wings game today? And it's tough to put a finger on it. But I also know we didn't want to go too long today. Performance Art wanted to know, any chance Burt comes back? That's the only reason he was traded. Couldn't agree on length. It's an interesting question.
Is it an apology offer from Yzerman to Larkin? I'm sorry, I traded your best friend. Is it a PR move?
Could be. I think... From what I heard on the 32 thoughts from Elliot Friedman, I think he gave a lengthy list, including like the likes, I believe, of like Minnesota was really trying hard to trade for him. Dallas was in the mix. I think we heard the Kings were in the mix. And basically any team that lost out on Bertuzzi is the one to watch for free agency this summer. They were adamant. It's like, all right, Tuzzi. Not coming back for the Bruins next year. So this is a rental for the Bruins. But yes. You know who it was? It was Winnipeg, I believe, was the team that was in second place.
So even like
according to Friedman.
So even like a deep playoff run, Bertuzzi, they think he's gone from Boston.
Yeah. I mean, they just played paid pasta. So I don't know. I don't know their salary situation like the back of my hand.
Because he'd have to be getting $4 million? At his age?
Well, his next contract? I mean, he was getting close to 5, so you figure he's probably hoping for
Production and annual injuries.
Oh, yeah, that's true. His absolute shit season this year is going to figure into that.
I mean, somebody offered Andrew Kopp a long-term deal. You know,
it's true. Yeah, maybe an
somebody
Andrew
gave Sherratt a long term deal. So it's not that ludicrous.
I don't think it's crazy if we find out he does come back. It just doesn't seem. I don't know. We talked a couple years ago, well, we talked a couple years ago, right, about going to arbitration, and everybody was like, it's not a big deal. This happens all the time. Remember. A lot of folks coming back to tell us that. And I don't know. It just kind of feels like things soured. What did Bertuzzi's agent say? He said, like, yeah, we talked one time at the start of the season about a new contract, and it never went anywhere from there. That sounds like two sides that wanted to break it off. Agent didn't say, yeah, I was calling Steve every day. What the hell? He won't answer. And Steve definitely wasn't... playing that game with the agent.
Let's make this a little bit easier, Matt. Would you want him back?
Can I sign him to a one-year deal and trade him at the trade deadline again?
Can I sign him to a prove-it deal because he hasn't quite done that, but I can see where there could be value.
I'll allow it. How long does he get to prove it? Is he getting 2 years on that? I mean, there's got to be like some
1 year.
Yeah. So are you going to pay a lot for this 1 year?
Oof. It might have to be 1 year for six. Like, it's going to have to be a race if you're doing a prove it. It's because it's, you know, they really like the long-term commitments in the NHL. They love the mortgages. It's just so tough because, like, you know, you and I were there for the peaks. We were there on opening night against Tampa when he put the whole team on his shoulders when Larkin got kicked out of the game. And he, what, it was four goals, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he looked like a real power forward. So we've been there for the teases.
They're just, for me, like, we looked at it last year. It was either you were getting like this string of games with a shot percentage that no one in the NHL, even Gretzky, you know, couldn't hang on to for as long as Bertuzzi was. And then all of a sudden when things normalized, it just was, I don't know, it was ugly production wise. So it's, what's that? Like, what's the saying? Like, I mean, it's kind of like when it rains, it pours, but in the positive way. you know, like when things were working out for Tuzi, anything would hit the back of the net. You needed to see that more often. With all the injuries this year, I don't know what you're getting out of bringing Bertuzzi back outside of like a morale push, maybe. And that sometimes is worth it. I mean, I will tell you right now, I'm concerned about the Detroit Lions because they didn't bring back my boy Jamal. Even though they signed, they're on the top of everyone's list in free agency. Best free agency, Detroit Lions, across the board.
That was one of the best free agencies I've ever seen a football team do.
I'm telling you. All
somehow
those wins,
it was pragmatic and generous.
Those wins were culture to me. So when you start losing guys that were big on culture.
Yeah, but the culture is not your backup running back. Your culture is your head coach.
I know.
They're going to be fine, man.
You're establishing a culture with every move
with
you
make. With your head coach, not your backup running
every
back.
Every move.
Right at the age make. When running backs fall apart, man. Terrible move if you'd re-sign him.
All right.
Got to get younger.
All right. We'll see who's right.
I like it a lot. Well,
you start.
When you treat the playoff tickets, because that'll be your punishment. But we can't
but
go
there
blue,
isn't man. Like a. If,
we can't
if
go
we
Honolulu
don't.
Blue. We got to stay red on this show. Come on.
But like, if we don't make it to the playoffs, it's not like you get to turn around and I'm gonna like, oh, you could go to the last game next season.
No, what I'll do is if we miss the playoffs, I'll buy you front row exhibition football tickets for the next season.
All right, yeah, that's what I want. All right, where are we at?
We're down 1-0 again. And then
again,
Zadina. Zadina had a pretty nice play that didn't end up going in the net, but it was a pretty sexy little deke and then no goal.
All right. Well, we are running out of things to talk about because eventually we're going to start our prospect look, but we're not starting it yet. But
it happens. I mean, we had a slow news day. You had a list here. Are these some UFAs, Matt? What's going on over here?
Oh, I did make a list of UFAs. All right, real quick.
Little rascal. Why are you always trying to seduce me into 2-hour long episodes with these UFAs and trades? Damn you.
Oh, yeah, we could do that. I did want to call out the NHL making another bonehead move. And
this is probably the bigger news. Yeah, we could do you. We can punch on the UFAs. A
10-year deal.
Commitment to Fanatics.
Now, just for fun, because I own a Fanatics jersey, I put it on for tonight's episode.
Yeah.
And
what did they spell wrong?
Like, here's the problem. Do you see this? Can you
let me
here? Oh yeah, I can do
let
this.
Let me hit enhance. Hold on. All right, enhance.
All right. There we can go. We still hear you if I do that?
I don't know. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is not embroidered. This is like plasticky like bullshit.
It's not embroidered.
Does anybody have a Fanatics jersey? Because this is like the ugly, like this, it rolls up. Do you know what I'm saying? And like, I read, somebody posted today, like the original like idea for these breakaway jerseys. And they were like, you could fold it like a t-shirt and put it in your dresser drawer.
Okay.
That's sold. Not what I,
you know, I like wearing them. I like hanging them up on hangers and I like framing them. So no, my top three things to do was not, can I fit it into my dresser? Hey, it's 1-1.
Hey,
who called out Perron not scoring on the power play? He just put one in. I knew he was subscribed to this podcast. I knew
how it works. But yeah,
this guy is older than Bud Lynch is standing up and clapping. This is awesome.
Wow, this is weird. I don't see this yet on Twitter. That never happens. You must have really good cable because everybody and their mother is tweeting about a Red Wings goal by the time I see it.
They might give it to Chason again. Yeah, they're giving it to Chason.
Oh, nice. So anyway, Fanatics sucks. I hope that the podcast listeners were able to hear sort of like...
Did they...
Like, this is the logo. Can you hear that?
Yeah, what does that sound?
That's the logo on the Fanatics jersey.
It sounds like when I had mice in my walls.
Chewy says iron-on, but it's not iron-on because they stitched on this bullshit piece of plastic, which is so funny, but... yeah.
I don't know. It's another baffling financial move by the NHL on the same day that they were talking about the cap going up. And I don't know if the two are related. The cap's going up because we made this really sweet deal with Fanatics. Yeah. So it's going to be a lot easier to pay off that escrow from COVID. Thank you, Fanatics. I don't know. Nobody's really jumping up and down. My favorite tweet was somebody had a New York Islanders, I think it was a shirt or a jersey from Fanatics. And it was New York Islanders, and then the logo was the Rangers.
Oh.
So they just kind of mashed the two New Yorks together.
Yeah, yeah. I think I might have seen that too. Yeah. All right, we're gonna do a quick break, and we'll hit one more topic, and then we'll let everybody go to the Wings game. All right, so we'll be right back. Ready for the underdogs, the upsets, and the unbelievable action from DraftKings Sportsbook? The biggest tournament in college basketball is here. That's right, it's the big one. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 on college hoops and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, for a limited time, all customers can score a no-sweat bet during round 1 and 2 of the tournament. Go to the app, opt in, and place a no-sweat bet this weekend. If it doesn't hit, you'll get a bonus bet. No sweat. Bet back up to $10. All right, so I know I put in my bracket. I don't really know anything about college basketball, but I think I had Kansas winning it all. So you guys, keep an eye on them, I guess. I don't know. And they might be a number 2 ranked somewhere or here or there. All right. Who cares? Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Sign up with the code THPN. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Win or lose, only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. Minimum eligibility and restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Jesus. We just got in a goal from, like, center ice.
Was it
Verona? I don't know what Hellberg was flailing at, but Lalonde is pissed.
I did want to throw out there a quick asterisk on that DraftKings ad. If anybody's asking you to bet on Kansas, don't. Because they're already out, so that's how little I know about college basketball. I picked them to win it all in my bracket. Okay, so last thing, let's talk about our power play. I had the thought the other day, I've never seen more chances on net on a power play than we have. Shorthanded chances on net while we're on the power play than this year. And I was wrong. But There's a negative to this. So dating back to 2013-14, so we're back in the Datsuk era, the Red Wings expected goals against per 60. This is actually the best season we've had, so chances given up. However, the goals against per 60, the actual goals against per 60, is its second worst. So the actual goals going in, it doesn't matter what the chance is, the goals are getting in net. So our goals saved above expected when I did this research is actually the worst it's been for who knows how long. I only went back to 13-14, but I guarantee that we don't have a almost minus one goal save above expected. Again, you know, compared to what he's supposed to give up, the goaltender being he, what he actually gives up. I guarantee it wasn't this bad going further back past 2013-14. So that being said, I was trying to like figure out, you know, was I right? And these are the numbers I found. And I think it still paints like this picture that makes sense, right? Like we've been so bad and still giving up goals more on, you know, on this pace for the chances we're giving up, it just seems more likely we're going to give up a goal, which is what this graph represents. I think that's why it feels like we've never given up more chances, because you notice them more, because every single one feels like it's going to go in the back of the net, which super sucks. I mean, this is saying like, you know, per 60 minutes, there's like, This chance, this goals against per 60 on the power, we'd have to be on the power play for 60 minutes. But we would give up 1.63, and you've got one extra player on the ice. This is ugly. Not good. I was trying to figure out, like, is this the end of Tungay? And I think a lot of people, Tangay, whatever, I think a lot of people would agree, like, there's... We haven't seen enough out of this power play to bring them back. Some people were mentioning like, this is clear. Like this looks like they're getting up to a pass count before they're going to shoot the puck. But, you know, the stat, it's interesting, right? Cause you could absolutely lean on the goaltending on this because the chances aren't supposed to be that bad, but, you know, we're giving up the goals anyway. And I don't know. It's tough.
You know, for us, it's kind of tough to look at these stats because as much as we could potentially blame the coaching, lest we forget that as dazzling as that shooting star has been, you know, Chiasson ideally should not be on a NHL-level power play. and Perron, as he kind of moves into the twilight of his career, should statistically probably no longer be on the power play. And I mean, that's what we're watching right now. So it's, you know, I think the coaching probably factors in, right? Good coaching could probably turn like a C player into a B player.
I heard that you said good cocaine could also help.
But I mean, you can only do so much, you know, with the players that you're given. So it's hard to really judge because we don't have like a good, like a full deck, a full skilled complement of players here to see, you know, what a real power play should actually look like.
Yeah. I mean, this is measured against the whole season, so I'm not going to necessarily call out Chiasson, and he seems to be having quite a bit of success. So that would be the last guy I'd call out. I do feel like it's more of like scheme and just like, sort of like egging on the competition, like, come on, I dare you to take this puck, is what it, that's always what it feels like is going on to me. I did want to toss out there, Derek Hand is aboard. Hey guys, show is probably almost over since I just got here. And
how'd you know, Derek? Yeah, once again, right on the money, brother.
I'm trying to think what else do we have to talk about, but I think everything else on my list here was, we've kind of touched on even quickly. I think Tuomisto is the only slide I didn't bring up at this point, but we already talked about it. So that being said, I think we're going to wrap up and let you guys enjoy the rest of the Red Wings game. For the podcast listeners, we'll be back with a full episode next week. And then I did invite everybody's favorite. I'm going to say he's definitely my favorite. Winging it in Motown writer, Jake Rivard, back to the show.
Ooh.
Guy who last time he was here, he wanted to desperately talk Elden Ring with you.
Oh.
You missed out.
Hopefully it's still fresh on his mind because I still think about it all the time.
He definitely posted recently his top 10 favorite games, and number one was Elden Ring. So crossing our fingers that the scheduling works out with Jake and the two of us, and hopefully he'll be aboard in a couple of weeks. And then, of course, 2 weeks after that, Little Caesars Player Grades.
That's right. I love that show. And wait, how many... God dang, how many more weeks until we get to the lottery so we can really grind our molars?
What is that, May 8th?
Ooh, right around my birthday. That'd be a nice gift, you know?
I was thinking that we try and do, like we have to. We have to try and do like a live...
Live reaction show. Absolutely, yeah.
Especially like if things worked out, that would be so much fun. Just wanted to ask if everybody had seen corn on the cob crust. With Little Caesars. Really excited to award this one.
Yeah.
Teased out some ideas earlier today. The Grindline podcast said this should be Robert Hagg. I said, no, I think I want to go with Alex Chason. It's surprisingly beautiful.
I don't want to give it away yet. I'm going to make people tune in.
I don't know.
I have a feeling it's going to be Lalonde.
He's going to be your corn on the cob crust pizza.
A few of those kernels remind me of his bald head. So I have a pretty good feeling he's going to be my vote for the corn cob pizza.
I like it. Now I'm sold. I might have gone back to listen and how many times you convince me and we go with your player on the Little Caesars thing. You're really good at it. I'll give you that. All right.
It's my one the whole year. It's my time to shine. So I'm very excited for this episode.
All right, with that, you guys enjoy the rest of the game, and we'll see you guys next week. Appreciate everybody coming aboard. Love you.
Stay strong. They sucked.